This week, Dr. and Mrs. Day are saying,
trust in what is trustworthy and don't be fooled by what is foolworthy.
And the scripture of the week is,
straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. That's from Matthew 7:14.
Hortense, you're all dressed up looking like a... Hortense, what's that? That looks like a crystal ball.
I'm just...
Oh, you're not carrying a crystal ball, are you?
I'm just...
What are you doing with that?
Maya...
Hortense, you didn't create a new fashion line for crystal ball gazing, soothsaying, false fortune telling, tea and palm reading mediums or something.
Thaddeus, I'm sorry.
Well, did you... Oh, my goodness, golly gee, false prophesying, forecasting. I'm with you, Puddles. I've got goosebumps all over my body.
Don't you find me attractive in this outfit, Thaddeus?
No. And obviously, Puddles doesn't either. Why in God's good earth are you all decked out in spooky spiritualist predictor unfarsighted apparel?
Don't you want me to read your mind, palm or tea leaves, or look into the crystal ball and tell your future?
My mind is for God alone to access, and I'm just this side of getting ready to cast something out of you, Hortense.
Don't you think I'm psychic, clairvoyant, telepathic, extrasensory, perceptive, ocular, and prophetic, and cute looking?
You're not cute in that getup, just downright eerie in that, dearie. Now I want to know why my fine Christian wifey is dressed up like a snake charmer.
Well, I
demand an explanation.
Well, I...
Are you backslidden, Hortense?
Thaddeus! Puddles!
I thought you were having the ladies over. Isn't this your night to teach your Bible study?
Well, I...
Hortense, go take that off and get dressed back into your everyday modest apparel.
Thaddeus! Puddles!
Then we'll sit down and have a nice talk and pray about this.
Thaddeus! Puddles! Stop! Neither of you has given me a breath to give you the lowdown.
It does look like you've stooped pretty low downward.
That's it, you two. Close your speaking devices. Keep your ear receptacles tuned in and listen up so I can tell you what's going on.
It better be good, Hortense.
Oh, I am having the ladies over tonight for our weekly Bible study. I'm all dressed up because I want to get a point across about polytheism and how many choices we have in this life and how easily we can choose something other than biblical truths and the true living God. I'm going to testify for God and hopefully bring the girls closer to the one and only real Lord God Almighty. All this is only an aid in demonstrating how easily so many people trust in things they really don't understand and don't even make the effort to investigate the truths that lie behind the deceptions. So there. And furthermore, you two suspicious jumping to conclusion dearies, I'm a truth-sayer, not a soothsayer.
Well, why didn't you just say so in the first place?
Even if you are not a Christian, you have most likely heard the scriptures from Matthew 7:13 and 14 quoted. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. The verses preceding and following Matthew 7:13 and 14 quite simply lay out God's roadmap for entering into true life. This chapter inspires us to consider our ways, how we treat others, whom and what we are pursuing and following, and the foundations upon which we build our lives and develop our trusts. We are encouraged to wisely seek God's kingdom fruits, as well as warned to understand and avoid corrupted fruits which destroy life that will be hewn down and cast into the fire. There is no middle road to travel. At the end of our existence here, we will arrive at a final destination. The Holy Bible teaches us deciding factors will be based upon following the good, sound, and proven, or possibly questionable, unreliable, and evil paths we have journeyed. When making choices for our lives, we can sometimes end up in evil, having been deceived by strong delusions and deceptions of the enemy of our souls, simply because we are not well informed and and have relied upon what we have been taught, what we think, and what we believe we can have hope in and dependence upon, or because of what has been ingrained within our thinking, right or wrong, it has all become routine and familiar to us. The Apostle Paul must have had some deep convictions concerning New Testament truths to change him from staunchly adhering to and depending upon Old Testament religious law alone, proclaiming Philippians 3, 7, and 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul, in Philippians 3, affirmed himself to have been a Pharisee, full of zeal. In his former understanding, he had persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which was in the law. A dedicated Jew, Paul was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Forever enlightened with revelation knowledge by the light that shone around him on the road to Damascus, the great apostle of the faith was transformed, breaking tradition, never to wayfare the long-learned, accustomed road again. Though blind for a season, the sightlessness experience served to bring him to an increased insight and acceptance of the things he had once judged to be corrupt. In Hosea 4:6, God informs us that his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, warning that many have rejected his instructions and in return will be rejected by him. We need to carefully consider whom and what we are trusting to navigate our course successfully. It is more than abundantly clear by the vast number of religions, philosophies, ideals, and ideas calling to us that there are many avenues we can choose to take. How can we choose the right option? Understanding the root origin of matters is always helpful, so long as we are getting the absolute truth. For example, let's really look into the use of a crystal ball, whereby some people trust the performance of accurately seeing into past and future matters. Gathering information on where the use of this gazing apparatus originated, what opinions, beliefs, and trusts have developed into present day, and also what mysteries stand in the shadows surrounding it, aids in understanding what we are really involving ourselves in, should we choose to dabble therewith. Thought to be the first people to use a crystal ball in the art of divination were the Celtic tribes, unified by Druids. The Druids were polytheists, revering, deifying, and worshipping nature. To be a polytheist is to hold the doctrine or the belief in more than one god, or to have belief in many gods. That pretty much sums up a description of the variety of faiths, beliefs, and ideas, including superstitions and ritualistic practices we have throughout our world today. Many thoughts, many faiths, many gods, sometimes worshipped without understanding what is really being idolized and what is behind human beings hallowing them. Today the crystal ball is gazed into by a vast variety of people, from witches, warlocks, mediums, and those in pagan religions, as well as having become a popular prop in operation with mentalists and magicians. These crystal balls stand as yard decorum and even reach into acting and being trusted as instruments of healing. In the middle of Mars Hill, Paul spoke to the men of Athens, seeing the city had been given wholly to idolatry. I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I to you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. Paul's sermon to these pagans brought light to acknowledging Christ as Redeemer of men's eternal souls, while exposing the false hopes of questionable gods and doctrines. The Apostle Paul, chosen of God, closed his preaching, urging those who had trusted in misleading deceptions to seek and receive knowledge of the true God and to move on to repentance. The Holy Bible counsels us in Proverbs 24:3-5, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding is it established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength, and as Proverbs 9:10 advises us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We gain it all, for all we will ever need is within the pages of the Holy Bible and found at the feet of the true and living God of the Bible. Sometimes what we give ourselves to looks so good, holds elements of what seems credible, and at times even presents seemingly supernatural manifestations, persuading us there might be some hope of receiving deeper experiences that will bring us into a higher spiritual level. Yet, can our observations by participation in religious practices or otherwise define what is truth? Or is there a superior standard, a measuring rod, by which we can determine we are being kept safe from harmful dangers of misleading, unreliable impressions, or what may possibly be illusions and trickery wrought by a sly and devious diabolical devil? You're hungry for something in life that will bring you to a clear, unclouded perception and to be brought to an understanding of what life and death is really all about. That's why most every human being worships something and or looks for someone or something more capable than self alone. We are all searching for the true God who can help us maneuver successfully through this life. Each of us desires a connection with the true and living God, having a deep inner witness that there really is a sovereign creator, one whose power and authority and fatherly love will watch over us, guide, and tenderly care for us through this life. Three of the most commonly asked questions we all ask ourselves and ponder upon are all related to the spiritual side of life. They are, who am I and where did I come from? What is the purpose of my life? And the final question, where will I end up? You came from the great Creator God who has specifically designed you for his wonderful purposes. Seek him through intimate relationship, conversation, prayer, and his holy love letter left to you, the inspired Word of God, the Bible. Follow him and allow him to take you into eternity, where you will abide in his presence with him forever.
Oh, thank you, dear Lord. That was one of the best Bible studies I've ever had the blessing of being part of.
Excuse me, my spiritually sound anointed angel eyes. Will you be discarding those props soon?
Yes, immediately, my two discerning cherub dumplings.
The sooner the better, my anointed Bible-teaching woman of God.
Oh, thank you, Thaddeus. I am thankful you're not seeing me through, shall we say, former preconceived judgments?
Me and Puddles were in the next room listening to your presentation of Good News Truths, and I must say, I not only learned some things, but was very blessed by all the scriptural evidence and examples you used to prove God's point.
It is interesting, isn't it?
What?
How many people just fall into beliefs or hold tightly onto error because that's how they were brought up, or they just simply conceived was the real thing. What saddens me most is that there's a whole newness fullness of life to be found in Christ Jesus that some people never find and never get to enjoy.
Yes, it's also said that some people won't even give the Bible and God a chance because they have preconceived about Him and the Holy Word. They've seen bad examples, heard wrong information, and are turned away assuming Christianity is what little they might think they know about it. And they just never get to know God by whom He says He is in the Scriptures.
Yes, they lose out on so much. That's why it's important that we keep presenting the truth and being living demonstrations of it as well.
Totally agreed. Folks, it's our hope and prayer you'll thoroughly investigate what you are following.
And also study the Word of God. Don't just read the Bible, but, well, I like the challenge my Thaddeus gives to so many people. He always tells them, get alone and ask God to prove if He's real to you and for you personally, and show you if He is the God of the Bible.
Amen. Same time, same place next week. We'll be welcoming you.